This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Glamier. Hi, this is Dr. Tabitha Mir. I'm a cosmetic dermatologist, owner, and founder of Mir Skin Cosmetic in New York City, and star of an Emmy Award-winning Bravo TV show. My podcast is all about great conversations with your favorite celebrities, media personalities, and well-known experts in the worlds of lifestyle, celebrity, relationships, and more. Through their stories, I hope to uplift, inspire, and educate. This is Glamier.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Glamier. I've got two amazing ladies in the house today. I have Laura Javon, who you guys know from Basketball Wives, and you got Veronica Obeng, who you know from Second Wives Club, and now they are together doing a podcast called the Sack Podcast. But I just want to let y'all know that one of the girls here, one who's eating candy right now, is just back from the dentist. Laura, welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for having us. Thank you for having us.
Did you finish chewing that Twix after your root canal?
That's so terrible. Wait, I don't know what my problem is, but every time I leave the dentist, I eat more candy.
Do you know what it is? It's because you eat the candy, so you feel like you're eating it because you went to the dentist and you fixed your problem, so now you can start from scratch.
No, she's mentally ill. She's complaining about how much her mouth hurts, and she's eating a
Twix. And you're still kind of numb right now, right?
Yeah, like, and it's starting to itch on one side. You know when the numbing comes down? Yeah.
So she showed up to the podcast with a numb. I love it. That's dedication.
I'll be trying. I'm not a quitter.
It's not a quitter. I've interviewed you guys separately, and it's been a lot of fun, but now you guys are together. How did this podcast get off the ground?
I got a phone call from Veronica one day. Sorry if I sound funny, but I got a phone call from Veronica, and she was like, I got an epiphany. I was like, hold on, first let me look that up. Hold on. And then after that, I was like, oh, shit. Okay, bet. What you got? And then she was like, she just started shooting all these things out and was like, we got a podcast called The Sack. It's going to be me, you. I was like, all right. She was like, I'm going to get one more friend. Her name is Melissa. I was like, okay. I had no idea who Melissa was, by the way. Until I met her through you.
Isn't she
I
awesome?
Knew who she was, but yeah. I didn't know. You know, I never met her.
It's Melissa Ford. Melissa Ford that was that
a video chick.
It's not her. It's a different Melissa Ford, right?
Yeah. Melissa Ford, yeah.
Gotcha.
A Caribbean. Oh, wait, the other one is
she's
Caribbean.
From Barbados. Is the other one from the Caribbean?
I think so. I don't know. Let me stop.
No,
I don't
which
know,
Melissa? Though. Melissa Ford, the video girl, is like.
No, we don't know her. Yeah. We don't know her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not her.
It's not that one.
And so it's called the SAC, and I was trying to figure out what SAC meant, and you guys are like, it's not an acronym. You need to look that up.
Everyone tells me they looked it up, or they're trying to figure out what it stands for.
Like, you know, when you say, like, we're in the SAC, and we're talking, and you're just chilling, three girls, you know?
Yeah, pillow talk is like, you can get yourself in trouble with pillow talk, or you can really, like, have these moments of, like, clarity and breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just our pillow talk amongst ourselves.
Like girl pillow talk.
Everything is on the table. Nothing's off limits. And so that's really what the SAC is about, is having those conversations and kind of dealing with those topics that you only talk about with your closest friends, except we're doing it where everyone can hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not only that, I feel like when we talk, we don't have mics in the... We just be talking.
Yeah.
And we talk to each other.
Well, that's how you know it's a good conversation. You forget that there are mics there.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally
you
we
forget,
do.
Forget, and the next thing you know, you're just talking about whatever.
Right. Yeah. We work so hard to produce this show, and then when we're finished and we play it back, it has nothing to do with
what we talked about. Nothing.
It never stays like how we envisioned it, but we're always proud of it, and we're really, I think, excited about the direction that it's taking, and it's growing so fast. And
we
want to thank
different.
everyone for
you
listening.
Guys are all, what are your personalities? I can tell you what I think, but your personalities, how would you describe the three of you, each of your personalities? Veronica, what would you say yours is?
I mean, I'm kind of like a horse wrangler, I'd say, because I'm always trying to keep Elle on topic and like focus. But seriously, she, you know what? She goes with her heart. She doesn't bite her tongue. She's going to tell you what she's thinking and feeling. And she's just kind of an open spirit.
Yeah.
So everything she says and she talks about and she's passionate about, she genuinely feels that way on and off camera. And Melissa, she's an island girl. So you just get it.
Yeah.
You know, she's a super strong woman. Mm-hmm. She doesn't take shit from anyone. And I'm just, you know, I don't really know. I guess I have an opinion about myself, but that's just kind of how I see the girls.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, you tell me. Laura, tell us.
So I would say that I'm more like, yeah, I do just talk and say whatever I feel. I think that Melissa does the same thing. She definitely talks and says how she feels. With it has more of a stern, kind of like a old grandma type of feeling. Am I right?
Who does?
Melissa.
She's talking about Melissa.
Oh, yeah, like her, auntie. Like a stern auntie.
Like like a grandma.
Oh.
Like she's like grandma. A grandma with a... It hurt, like, it's how I talk. It's like whatever comes to mind, or she'll say it, but it has like a grandma twist on it. And it's very stern.
Just listen, you're not going to change her mind.
No.
Like, you cannot convince your grandma to see
happening.
Things your way if her mind is made up this way. And Melissa's very much that way. You're not going to persuade her or dissuade her with the conversation. She's,
your opinion is like whatever.
It's
she still has her own.
She's still right.
And then Veronica, I think, is very much the mother of the group.
Well, she's a mother in real life. Got a lot of kids over here.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially, but like, I love how she said she's a horse wrangler.
Yeah. Peacekeeper?
Whatever. But she's very, she'll pull us in and keep us on focus. Because I think a lot of times, especially me, I'll be rambling. Especially, and I just talk about whatever I feel, and it goes from topic to topic to topic. But yeah, she definitely keeps everybody intact, and then she definitely corrects us and works on us with our vocab, which is very, very interesting.
I interviewed Laura like a year ago, and I said something, and you were like, I need to look that up. Don't use those fancy words with me. I forgot what I said, and you were like, I don't know what that means, but like, okay.
But even when I don't know what something means, I'll either write it down or just try to see what it is later. Not that I care, but it's just interesting because I'm like, I just use direct words, like, you know, if it's an ass, it's an ass. So it's like, whatever, you know?
So a lot of the stuff that you guys talk about are sex, relationships, that sort of thing. I heard the one about abusive relationships that you guys were talking about.
Right.
Is there stuff that you guys have said that you're like, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that? Yet? Has it happened yet?
No, I don't feel that way. The only time I'm afraid if I should have said something or shouldn't have said something is I'm still in the middle of a divorce and I just don't want to get sued later.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking from personal experiences and I'm talking about my friends' experiences and I just don't want it twisted.
Yeah.
You know, later or used against me. But we both just speak really openly and from the heart, and not only our experiences, but friends, family members, and just, you know, things that we've witnessed firsthand and, you know.
And how do you two know each other? Like from friends, how did you guys become friends?
We actually met at a basketball game.
Oh, you did.
We met at a basketball game. We were both in the tunnel. Yeah.
Yeah.
After the game, and
first of all, I was like, who the hell? At first, I thought maybe she played basketball.
Right. She's so tall.
Yeah. She's so tall and she's so pretty.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay. And I was judging, kind of in the sense of like,
yeah,
she
like
has to be
do.
An athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she kind of had a slight attitude, so I was like,
I did not have an attitude.
No.
I'm very shy.
In your
don't
face.
Know.
She had an attitude in your face. Okay.
And your
But then when we just start talking.
Yeah.
And then my son was with me.
It's because I started speaking to your son. Because I'm such a mom, so I see her son. I'm like, literally, I'm like, oh my God, he's so cute.
She was like, I got 5 kids. You can come play with him. I was like, first of all, I was like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like,
shut up and then,
yeah, because I was like, all that.
Yeah.
I was like, the 5 kids thing,
I know.
Come and drop him off in real life.
Because
I was thinking like, yo, I would really drop his ass off.
You're like you don't.
Yeah.
You
and
off.
I'm just
like don't
bring
play
him.
Me. But she really is like the ultimate. It's so crazy because I feel like I've known her for years, especially for the things that she's done for me and the type of person she is.
Aww, Booski.
And the relationship, you know, like I could call her. She's on my emergency cards. I don't think she knows it, but she's on my emergency cards for the kids.
Because I go get some babies.
Yeah, because she will. And so,
get them a balanced vegetarian meal and make them
plastic. It's my mom, my boyfriend, and then there's her.
Wow. So, that's great.
Yeah, she's dope.
So you guys both been through a lot, you know,
yes,
like over the past years.
And we have been beat the Yeah, but we're back.
Give literally a little bit. Give me like a 30-second summarizing for everybody listening of
give
your
30-second rendition.
You can do 1 minute. Life.
30. You know, I can give it to you in 30 seconds or less. It's just a lady running around married. I had a whole bunch of kids because, you know, you need money, you know, to have kids, and I have plenty of money, so I just kept having these kids.
Right.
And then found out that, like, my man was skank. But all of this happened when I signed up for reality TV.
Yeah,
so I was kind of trapped on this show, living out like my worst nightmare in front of everyone. The show wrapped up. Divorce got more and more gross.
Yeah.
I got poorer and poorer and poorer. My show
literally. We speak the truth right now. Y'all, it's a joke, but it's the truth.
No, and then the show didn't get renewed, which gave him so much joy. Like, I don't know who he paid off over there at NBC Universal because everyone loved the show. But
Surprised. Second Wife's Club. I was surprised it didn't get picked up for a second season.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were shocked. So you just kind of land where you land. And in that moment, I'm still in the middle of that thing called divorce. I'm juggling my 5 kids, single momdom. I definitely blog a lot about my experiences. I talked about my blog last time I was here. And just moving forward, I said, you know, what is something that's talent driven? Because I didn't like when they edit certain things together to portray you in a certain way. So I wanted something that more I could control.
Control your story.
Yeah, and tell my story how I wanted to without a bunch of other stuff being added. It's fun and I love it. So
it's freeing. It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You can actually tell your story, be amongst your friends, and then when you're done, you feel like you have something that you're proud of, like a message that you can get across.
Right. So we created this podcast. I'm still single momming it up and going through a divorce, but I'm really, really happy and really hopeful. My birthday's in a few days and I couldn't be more excited about this year.
Yeah.
You know,
you're
being 35, all of that. Yeah. I'm a Pisces. I'm a water baby. A mermaid.
You're so different. Okay.
Pisces are sensitive. You sensitive?
Deep down, some of us.
Yeah, deep. Not this. Laura, you go next, because then you can go back to...
What am I talking about?
You're going to talk about your 30 seconds of your struggles that you can share with us.
My struggles are... What do I want to say about struggles? They're real. There's been times that I've been able to take my kids to Europe and have an amazing month. And then there's times that I don't know how I'm going to feed them.
Yeah.
So in between all that, you know, I could tell you about the struggle all day, but I'd rather tell you about the things I'm more hopeful for.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And I'm hoping that I can co-parent with my ex. I'm hopeful that I'll get child support on time. I'm hopeful that just my life, you know, it's like it's moving in a good path right now, and I just wanted to continue. I'm with someone that I happen to really like that I don't want to talk about. I'm just enjoying him and learning to be in a real relationship, because I honestly was with somebody for a really long time, and the direction I was headed as far as like relationships is concerned was real shitty and not something that
you mean
I
after
would,
him
no while I was with him. I really didn't know, now being in a relationship, I didn't know what a relationship really was. A good, healthy one, I should say.
Yeah.
So I'm actually learning how to be in a healthy relationship. So, and it's very interesting because it's something I'm not used to.
Some people never learn.
Some people keep
doing it over and over. What makes this healthy? I know you don't want to talk about it, so don't talk about it. What have you learned about healthy relationships?
I've learned that I don't have to throw tantrums and break things to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
He's more like very direct. This is how he talks to me. Laura, my love. And it's real. It's so weird. I'd be like, laugh.
It's a lie.
Yeah, I laugh. And he's like, yo, I'm being dead ass serious right now. Like, focus and listen. And he'll be like, you're very upset right now. So why don't you just go on the other side of the bed? Like, I can't leave. I can't storm out of the house. He doesn't want me to leave the bedroom. He's like, no, just be in your feelings, but over there. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And for me, I never understood what that. It was more like, we're going to be in the same space. We might as well just fight.
Yeah.
Like, let's just, here, I'm going to slap you first. So it was that. It was very volatile.
Mm-hmm.
But now I would never think to put my hands on someone else that I love. Mm-hmm. And he makes me feel that way and understand things. And
so he's calming for you.
He's very calming mm-hmm. for me. Yeah. And I used to be very turned up, but now I'm only turned up if you mess with my kids.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't really care about much else. And even when I argue, I just argue to get my point across, and then I don't want to talk about it no more. Like, I'm like, bro, I said what I wanted to say. Like, it's over.
And then
it's
done.
Yeah.
That's
so.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, because I remember, like, the last time I talked to you guys, especially with you, Veronica, you were going through your show being on air and dealing with the public scrutiny of your... Was it that your marriage was already, like, outed? Did it happen on the show? Can you remind me how that happened?
No, we started filming, and that's when his mistress came forward. That we were going to... And that's a really nice word.
I can tell you that's not the word she used last time, but yeah.
Okay, 2018, that was one of my resolutions, like, to really work on me.
I don't know. When I saw her, she looked like that phone right there.
Oh, she definitely looks like a Fraggle Rock. Like, she's not sexy, she's not cute. You don't throw your life away for these type of women, but sometimes you do.
Sometimes you do.
But, no, she just kind of came out right when she heard that we were starting a show. Mm-hmm. So... You deal with it, you know, as you can. Mm-hmm. One foot in front of the other, and you move on. You just one foot in front of the other.
No, what'd you say before that? What was the word?
I said you deal with it.
Oh, I thought you said, like, some fancy word. I was like, so here we go. Here we go.
So, do you guys talk about this stuff on your own podcasts?
Yeah, we definitely do. I mean, I don't think... See, that's the thing. I want to be careful that our podcast is not misconstrued as something that's like, oh,
male
they go...
Mm-hmm.
Beating, like, this dead horse. Okay, I get it. Like, my marriage fell apart. Laura had issues. Like, this is...
Still.
present still tense. Has. Yes. You know, but we all have issues, but we deal with things that are salient, but we also deal with things that we think impact other women. Yeah. So it's going to be a diverse range.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely we can't like kind of sidestep away from what we also know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality also is that, like, we're moms. Melissa's single. She lives like this life we kind of admire on the low.
Yeah.
But then I feel like Melissa's looking forward to us,
what
like how, because she sees us as moms.
Mm-hmm.
So I think hindsight, she's still looking at, like, you know, mothering and can't wait to. But we kind of looking at her like, damn, if we didn't have
just
no kids. Yeah, I'm like, yo, you live your life.
It's not that bad, right? Everybody's like, oh, I'm single. What's the big deal? Just enjoy it.
You have to enjoy it. And mm-hmm. it's crazy because I look back and all of a sudden I was a mom of 4 in less than 5.5 years.
That's right.
And it was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And like now it's crazy because I still want 2 more kids.
I told her to slow down.
And you want 6 kids total?
Yeah, I've always wanted to start in 5 and a 7.
Why?
I'm a basketball player.
Yeah.
So, like, that was my whole thing since I was 13. I've always said that.
Are you working on that right now?
Yeah.
Are you still delirious from the Novocaine from this morning?
Right. No, like, real, like, no.
No, she really does want more children. I don't understand.
But you have 5.
I have 5 children. Don't get me wrong. I adore, like, to the point of almost worship my children. Like,
yeah, I was about to say. You're like stalker mom, too.
Yeah, I'm
like,
a total.
Not stalker, you're stalker mom.
I'm a total helicopter mom. I do everything for my kids,
she's
almost to the point
mom.
It's a detriment, you know, because I do everything
for
them.
She has, like, the patience of Job.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think
Job
he would need
guy?
To.
All right, bet.
Yeah, he was.
Yo, there you go.
He was a good guy.
She has, like, the patience. Like, me, I'm more like, yay, you got a problem? No, your problem ain't big enough. You? No, it ain't good enough either. You? Oh, shit. Okay, your face is bleeding. Hold on. You first. All right, you? Nah, you good.
So it's you guys like, parent differently, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, she had 4 kids in 5.5 years. My children span the gamut. I have an 18-year-old that's a senior in high school, and I have a 2-year-old that's in Pampers.
That's great.
And I just think the difference in my parenting style is... I was a really young mom. I think they was frustrated a lot. So, like, when I see these memes, like, black parents helping you with their homework, they just, like, repeat the question and just yell it louder and louder every time they repeat it, and that's how they help you.
Mm-hmm.
I was that mom. Like,
yeah.
But now, like, I've got, you know, 16, 17 years of parenting under my belt, and I am more patient, but I've learned that, and I also see you get different results. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just a learning curve. It's steep with your first, and all her babies were like popcorn. You know, I had some time to kind of get my bearings
that's
and figure
analogy.
Out what was going on.
Well, mine is I line them all up and beat them, even if just one messed up. Y'all all getting it, so go on, get on the wall.
Yeah, and I don't hit my children.
I give
speeches like the Gettysburg Burgundy dress.
Listen?
You know, they don't want a speech so bad because I already love to talk. So my daughter gets this look in her eyes.
I just feel like they stop listening. They glaze their eyes and they stop listening.
I will pin them in a room and say, we're having a family talk. And I can hear my daughter whisper under her breath. She's like, Abe Lincoln is here. Because I literally.
How old is your daughter?
She's 18.
But does that work for like a 6-year-old?
Oh, yeah.
It does?
Oh, yeah. My son still be like, I'm like, what are you? I'm a young man and I should mind my manners. Yes, now march up the stairs. I'm marching. Like you.
That's great because I'd be eating with chanclas.
What if, Laura, you started like lecturing, giving lectures to your kids? How do you think they take it?
My lectures are more like.
Shut up.
No, I don't say shut up. I'm more like, do you want to be slow? Like, is this what you want your life to look like? And then she'll pull up examples of things. And I'm like, if you can't read, then these things happen. If you can't do this, this will happen to your life. I'm more
like
that mom.
So you like show them. You like show the examples
of
like what
can happen. Yeah, I'm more like if you still, like my friend works at a juvenile in Oakland. And I took my 10-year-old son, and I made them put him in a cell. And I was like, okay, do you want this?
Because
if
you
steal, this is what happens.
Whoa.
You know,
was
I'm more like that.
After that?
Because I'm a thief. Like, I steal.
We talked about
I'm
this
a petty
on one of our podcasts.
Yeah, like I do. I'm a petty thief.
Theft.
But I'm not a liar. So, like, if you ask me, but I'm a thief.
She clarified she will steal, like, your toilet paper or your cleaning supplies from your house.
Salt, pepper. I'm a pen thief for sure. I got, like, 9 in my backpack right now. But, like, But again, I'm petty. But if you ask me if I stole your charger, I'm gonna say yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I'm pretty honest about things, and I tell my kids that
you're honest about your thievery.
Yeah, like I can bail you out if you tell me the truth.
The truth.
I just need to know the truth. Yeah. You ain't gotta tell nobody else. We good.
Okay.
But outside of that, so that's the type of parent I am. I'm more like, if you do this, these are the repercussions.
Right.
So if you don't listen, I'm gonna beat you with this chancla. How about that? And they just think that I'm like, they be like, man, she's off one. That's what my daughter says. She's off one. And then she tells me like. I need some milk. She's like, you need some milk. Your swings are getting weak.
That's what you say.
My swings
like,
are getting weak.
They say that to you, that you need some milk?
Yeah, my 11-year-old would be like, Mom, you need some milk.
Get those bones strong.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I have two nieces, and one of my nieces, I was home a couple weekends ago, and she had to study, and my sister's like, I can't deal with her right now. She doesn't want to study. Can you study with her? So I go in as the aunt, and I'm like, hey, and I try to be nice and patient, I think the Veronica way, and then she just didn't want to do it. And finally, I'm like, you know what? Don't study. Don't.
Yeah.
Be the dumbest one in the class.
Exactly.
Be the one that everybody talks about, that you are the dumb one. I said that to her.
She's robbing the baby of her self-esteem and confidence.
I don't know that I use the word dumb, but I definitely said
dumb
it.
Sounds
you
great
be the
to me.
One. You be the one that fails and everybody talks about
you. But you know what? My whole take on it is that this world is already so hard.
Yeah,
like,
but it works.
I am. You know, you can get results in a number of different ways, but I like always have had this deep rooted need for my kids. Like, mom is the safest place on earth.
You're safe, but still,
I'm
like,
safe,
when
but
you're
you
in that moment
and
your patience, like, I was sitting there trying to be like, okay, let's study. Okay. And she was just not listening. She was just like, if I started something, she'd switch the subject and just whatever. And finally, I'm like,
no, but you know what? It's also the way you train them because that's a you know, that one time you helped her with the homework. For me, after I force my kids, so say my middle son, Jason, he realized around third grade, my mom will literally sit here with me for 15 hours and read this history book. She does not give a damn. She is not moving. No one has had food.
You can't wear her
nothing.
Out.
We can stay here all day. Like church, when we go with my grandma, we will stay here all day until you get the word.
Is that how you were raised?
So, no, my parents are just like, if you don't get A's, we're going to literally beat the hell out of you.
Yeah.
And it was just like, cut you loose. And everyone checked once a semester what your grades were like.
My dad used to be like, a D is passing and hopefully you can read. So I was like, all right, cool. We good then. Hey, and you know what's crazy? I got a master's in sports psychology. I mean, and I got straight A's during college. I was a disaster student in high school. And I don't even know how I got out of junior high. But, yeah.
Everything in my house growing up was under penalty of death. So it's just like the punishment always outweighed the crime. You better get A's. You better not get in trouble. Go live your best life. And that, boom.
Yeah.
We had
and $2 for lunch money. That was from,
and
I raised myself.
So do you think that that's why,
just went with that.
Do you think that's why you're that way with your kids? You're
definitely,
more patient.
Definitely.
And so you're like the opposite.
Definitely. I knew when I messed up in school, like I literally would contemplate like running away. Like, you know what? Grandma doesn't live too far away. She has snacks.
Damn.
She talks really quiet. Like,
my dad.
So, no, you could. So, yeah, I just definitely take my time with my kids. But again, I learned that because I did this once and I was the frustrated mom just repeating the question, getting like a decibel louder every time I repeat it until I was screaming and she was terrified. And I realized she's in first grade and all she needs to do is color in the lines. So.
Right. So, who's really slow?
These lines, you're not getting into a good color.
Right.
That's like everything. Everything's about this coloring. Yeah. Has your, like, the way you've, especially you, Veronica, because you've got such a big gap between your kids, the way you parented your 18-year-old versus the way the one is, what, 2 years old?
Yeah.
Is there a difference in the way you parented?
Yeah, for sure. Because you know what? I'm going to be 35 in a few days. And it's like, it's literally, it seems like yesterday I was a 17-year-old mom in my senior year of high school thinking,
wow,
I have gotten myself into something that I don't know, clearly I'm not ready for. It is going to take a lifetime to get this kid raised and to do the right thing by her.
You realize that. That's really good.
But I blinked my eyes and it's over.
Yeah.
That's the point. That, like, I blinked my eyes and all of the kindergarten dances, all the Christmas plays that you don't really want to go to, all the glitter paint and shit. And
all that's gone.
All the projects that I really did myself. You know, you blink and it's over. And the only thing she cares about now is prom and which college she's going to.
Yeah.
So it goes so fast. So this with the last few, like, yeah, they're so much younger. I just want to take it in. So yeah, I sign up more for their schools. I do stuff I don't want to do because I know I'm going to blink and I'm going to be an old ass crazy lady. They're going to be grown and never visit me.
Aww.
So I'm just like, I'm so blessed. I get to do this again.
Yeah.
Most women get to do it once. Like, I get to do this again. And I'm really thankful for that.
I think there's a difference between women who have their kids young versus the ones that have it older. I think the ones that have it older maybe have struggled more to get there, and maybe they're more secure in their own life and they're more patient. That's what I think. Than the ones I've seen who have it when they're really young. Maybe when they're really young, it's unexpected. It wasn't planned. And so the kids are kind of looked at as somebody who hindered them from having their best life.
Well, not that. Just like, it's hard.
Yeah.
I never thought my daughter kept me from living my best life, but it was sure really fucking hard to do it when you're like, yeah, you're a senior in college and you want to go study like in NYU, but you've got to think like, no, I need accommodations for a kid. I've got to pay for daycare.
Yeah.
Like, even the most basic things. So my daughter never kept me from living my best life. In fact, she pushed me to be more, but it definitely complicated the situation. Yeah. It was definitely way premature.
But you're really mature. You have a really great mindset.
I was born
really
38.
But, yeah. But like, I'm listening to you and I'm like, you know,
hard.
This isn't normal.
Hard.
She's like, you made you a better person. But that's not what I've seen. What I've seen, some of these, I used to be in med school and we used to be delivering babies, and the majority of those girls coming in, we're like 16 and there's no dad around,
wow.
You know, 16,
yeah.
17, and there's no dad around. And sometimes these girls were, that was like their third kid at like by 18. And so I wasn't seeing what you're talking about.
But you know what? I also matured because of judgment. Like, yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't know if we should talk about this on our podcast, but even as a 16-year-old child giving birth, like,
people judged you.
Oh, not just judge. Like, they are mean to you.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
wow.
I was a 16-year-old, heavily pregnant.
Yeah.
My OB was rude to me.
Wow. I've seen
that. And they treat you like you're trash.
They
I get it. I'm a teenager. There's no dad here. My parents are here
they
with
shame
me, clearly.
For it.
Yeah. And it's like, at this point, look, we got to move forward.
Yeah.
There's nothing
really
we can do.
You're still
at this point
a baby.
But, but no,
yeah,
that
but they definitely
judgment
judge
is
they
what makes you
like,
mature.
They look at you like you're a skank, you know, like you're a slut.
Right. And like, you're like, that's all you're going to be.
You're a slut, you know?
Yeah. But what's crazy is that if you haven't done it by then, you thought about it.
Yeah,
so,
but you didn't. But the difference
or you didn't
is,
jacked off
you
to
could
get
have,
there.
Right, you could have been a virgin getting pregnant your first time.
Yeah,
right
you
there.
Know.
Okay,
all
right. Which is something I didn't.
That's
or you
saying.
Could be a skank that's 700 times, and then you don't get pregnant. So, but you because you're pregnant, you're considered a slut.
That's
and
crazy.
I know what she's talking about because I was in medical school and I was with this older OBGYN who was like probably pushing 60 at the time, and there was this young girl coming in for her post in a prenatal exam. He couldn't put the speculum in her, and he gave her the baby speculum, not the baby speculum. There's like a big one.
Yeah, and then
there's a smaller one. And so he's putting that inside of her, and she's writhing of pain. She's just like, she's uncomfortable. And he pulls the speculum out, and he looks at her. He's like, look at this. Look at this. Your boyfriend's penis is bigger than this. And I'm like, well, I can't believe you're talking to this girl that way.
Not
because
only that, how do you know?
I know. But I mean,
babe.
It's so disrespectful.
No, but you get disrespectful. Like, we're all humans, and I definitely definitely think that like disrespect and judgment grew me up a lot, because instantly I recognize in your teachers' faces, your healthcare professionals, your parents, everyone at church, all of that judgment. And you can either crumple under pressure and implode and accept that people think you're something that you know you're not, or you can just say F everybody, make your little plan. And that's, I was just doodling my plan. Gonna grow up, get the F out of this shitty town.
Yeah.
Gonna move away, never coming back, gonna go to college. And that's what I did. And the rest is history. She pushed me.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel she like God sent her to me to me for a reason. Mm-hmm. She's the only one of my children that ever knew my mother.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, my mom died early, and it's like my daughter helped me to survive when I lost my mom.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I could have done it without
her.
Probably
couldn't.
So, I mean, everything I think happens for a reason. Who am I to try to figure it out? But that's been my best blessing, is having that little girl when I did, and then also the blessing of getting to do this motherhood thing over.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you guys have people, and that was really awesome what you just said right there. I really like that, because I was like, there's something else here, because most people that I know that had kids young don't talk the way she talks, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
There's a little bit of resentment in their voices, and I don't hear that at all from you. Do you guys take viewer calls or tweets or...
I think they were stressed.
Do people ask you to cover topics? They do.
And, you know, we take a lot of emails. Sometimes we address it in our topics.
Mm-hmm. Is there something that you got that you thought was like, we got to cover this, or that was just...
Well, we did the show Dear 20-something.
Yeah. What was that about?
Yeah, Dear 20-something was just kind of a look back now that we're in our 30s. Like, what will we say to our 20-something-year-old self, like, about what you think life is and what direction it's really going to go, and just advice to your younger self. And I specifically, because some of our younger listeners had said, hey, please do this show, you know, for us. And we put it together. And I think it was a great episode. And we definitely got a lot of follow-up emails thanking us for that.
What was some of the stuff you said on that?
On our Dear 20s?
Yeah.
I don't remember what I
you know. Yeah, you were like, you know, stay in school. Because you know what?
I don't know if I said that, because I don't really care.
you're so old and jaded now, you don't care. But in that moment, you definitely care.
No, I definitely feel like... this is what
you
I feel.
You talked about love
like
a lot, too.
I feel like there's stages of life. And I feel like I see my children who are 6, 8, 10, and 12 now. Mm-hmm. And I want them to live every stage of life, like, as I see it. Like, you're a kid, you be a kid. You're supposed to enjoy the Disneyland stage. Yeah. And then you enjoy the teen stage where you get your period. And then you have these little hormones and you grow hair. You got to figure out how to shave it.
Yeah.
It should be enjoyable, not like, oh, my God. You know, no, these are stages of life. And then from there, you get your first kiss. You know, you're 18 to 22. Hopefully, you start doing it then. Not before.
Yeah.
You know, even, you know, whenever.
Yeah.
But, and then you go to college. You have a good college life.
So it's about enjoying the phases that you're in.
Yeah,
really,
it's like seasons.
It,
yeah,
not hoping
like,
for the next, you know.
Yeah, so
like,
that's
oh, man,
what I want.
I'm a teenager, I can't wait to be an adult. And I'm like,
I tell my kids now, you are going to be my age one day, and it's going to be a blink of an eye, you know? So it's like, I want them to understand. So, and me as in their age and seeing where they are, I didn't listen to shit. So I'm like, yo, I'm just giving you examples.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get you, because you're probably not listening to me.
Yeah.
But here's a good example of what I mean by live your life.
Yeah.
So my Dear 20s were that. Like, I probably, and then here was what I remember talking about. Pick who you pick to spend the rest of your life with. Because, you know, the people that, who I chose to have children with, I mean, I was with for 16 years, and you couldn't tell me that he wasn't going to be with me for the rest of my life. You just couldn't tell me that. I never saw that until the end. But, you know, it's really hard, because now I have criteria, and now I have, I'm judging, you know, who
you
people
have rules.
Are.
You have
and
rules.
Yeah, my rules are different.
Yeah, I get
so
it.
It's like, but I want for my boys and girls to be that way and pick, you know, their future. Wisely,
yeah.
Yeah.
What's next for you guys? No more TV for a little while?
No, I'm not opposed to not doing TV, but to be honest with you, I'm not going to do the dance of buffoonery.
Yeah,
like, you're not
going to
have
I
me
know.
On there yelling and ratchet.
You want to do something good.
Yeah, I don't even have the energy, because if somebody today throw a drink on me, I'm just going to lock myself up. I'm just going to go to jail on my own. I'm going to be like, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm going to be like, let me just get there on my own.
How can can people listen? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
How can people listen to your podcast? Where can they find it?
They can tune in to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud. And we are also working on our YouTube channel, so you can search us on YouTube. And we're going to start putting up our live shows there. Again, we're just kind of playing it safe, growing it organically, but it's been a hell of a ride.
And it's been fun to
Yeah, it's so awesome. So
just check it out. It's been great having you guys on here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for coming on with your tooth all novocained. And
it's seriously itching over here. Like, I want to scratch it, but it goes nowhere.
And it's also just nice to kind of have, like, a year later follow-up and see where everybody's at, because I know that, especially for you, Veronica, it was really, like, things were really heavy, like, when we talked last. And now it's like, you're doing great, but you always knew you would, you know, both of you, so...
Thanks,
keep crushing.
I keep my walking shoes on.
It's a struggle, but we moving.
Yeah, you just got to keep moving. That's it. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.